Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your podcast host for the Art of Intuition. And today we're talking about intuitive urge or a logical push. Now, I have just spent a week with my daughter and looking after my grandbaby, which was really lovely. And she was saying to me that when she was pregnant, and her little one's now 2.5, but when she was pregnant, she had a lot of people giving her ideas, giving her advice. And there was a lot of books and there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of information out there about pregnancies. And then, of course, she's had the baby and, again, the same sort of things happening. So everyone has their ideas and their advice. Now, of course, I was with her for the week and I have my own ideas and my own advice. And we need to be very, very mindful if we are giving advice, especially when you can imagine that these young ladies have had so much information handed to them. It wasn't like in my day where you really didn't have the access to the internet. So you didn't have a lot of information there, whereas you do nowadays. And sometimes it can be to the other end of the extreme. You know, you end up knowing too much or getting too many ideas and too much information that you really don't know where to start. So it sort of gave me a little bit of an understanding that when we're helping someone, how do we help that person? But how do they take that on board? Now, because we've been brought up or we've all had our own experiences, and it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, we've all had our own experiences. So we all have our own take and understanding of what that experience is about. Now, having children is one of those things that we do pass on, the information we do pass on. We do talk about that, especially among the women's groups. It's something that a lot of us have in common. So it's a natural thing to talk about. And it can be a little bit daunting. Now, I remember when I had my children and being a bit of I'm an empath to start with, but I also would take on board what other people thought or other people said. One of the things I did lack was experience, obviously. When you're a new mother, you do lack a lot of experience. But the other thing was I lacked a lot of confidence in it too. And really, young mothers are no different now than what we were then. Where we may have lacked information, you've got such a bevy of information that it can become overwhelming. So we've sort of got the same thing. We at our age, when we were young mothers, we had that overwhelming sense of we didn't know what we were doing. And now, as young mothers nowadays, you can still have that overwhelming feeling of not really knowing what you're doing because there is that much information you don't know what to follow. So where we start to look at trusting our intuition and the information we're given, that's what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to get that understanding of what it means and what it feels like. So you can imagine you're getting all this information. Now, at one particular time, I've had three children in 3 years. So the youngest one was being breastfed still and was quite sick. The other two older ones were also sick. And if you imagine there was at that stage a four-year-old, a three-year-old, and no, three-year-old, two-year-old, and the baby, which hadn't turned one. So as you can imagine, it was pretty full on for me for a long time. Now, this particular time, my son, who's the middle child, had got a cold and he wasn't feeling too good, but he was one of those kids that just didn't stop, you know, just full ball, everywhere you went. He was constantly on the go. So I could tell when he was sick because he would stop being on the go. He would slow right down. So we knew, I knew that there was things happening there. Now, he was getting a bit sick, but he was still moving along pretty well. Anyway, the baby at this stage, because I was breastfeeding her, no one else knew what she was experiencing, and I was getting a little bit concerned with her. Now, in this particular instance, a friend of mine had come over and was really concerned about my son, saying that he sounded like he had asthma and you need to, you know, when he wakes up from his sleep, if he's still the same, you better get him into hospital. And it created this real fear within me that I wasn't doing the right thing by my child. I didn't know what I was doing. I was so concerned about the baby that maybe I wasn't watching what my son was doing, my toddler was doing. But the baby wasn't feeding right. The baby, I felt, was more detrimental in the health than what my son was, because he was still running around going crazy. Yes, he was coughing. Yes, he had runny nose. Yes, he had all that happening, but he hadn't slowed down that much, not that much to be concerned. But of course, an outsider coming in wouldn't see that. An outsider coming in wasn't with the baby, could only see what was happening in the other areas. So consequently, I took this information on board, didn't know what asthma was. I mean, I knew what it was, but I knew how dangerous it was, but I didn't know what the symptoms were or how to assess for it. So it got me straight away on edge, and it was like this logical push, you've got to go to the doctors, you've got to go to the doctors. Now, we lived over an hour drive from town, and majority of times I didn't have any petrol in the car to get anywhere. I never had any money at that stage. It was only the money that was given to me when I was needed to go shopping or being good. It was a very controlled relationship. So for me to take him to the doctors was a challenge to start with, and to take three kids, especially when the baby was so young and so sick. But again, they didn't see that. Only I saw that. So this real logical push, which was understandable by what she was seeing, it was a very understandable, logical push. I needed to go to the doctors, take this son to the doctors if he was like that when he woke up. So it was logical. But intuitively, I knew that there was something wrong with the baby, not with the son. And yes, he was sick, but not in a state of where we were going. And this has happened a few times with me where our intuition is sort of going, well, I don't know if it's that bad or not, you know, or am I not being a good mother? So anyway, he woke up from his sleep. He was fine. He just ran around like a crazy kid, as he always did. And I ended up going to the hospital that evening with the baby because she was not only not feeding, she wasn't breathing properly. She ended up with pneumonia on the lung. My intuition was correct. My intuition was saying, stop focusing on him when you knew that he was running around like a crazy person, as he does, and focus on the baby. And because of this logical push, it made me stop focusing on the baby and put my focus somewhere else. And this is where I went wrong. I followed that logical push and I didn't stick with my intuitive urge. And these are the sort of things that we need to be mindful of. So over the week, my little granddaughter, she got sick. Now I knew that it was the way it came on. So she started sneezing, had the runny nose, but it was clear. And I could see she started getting a little tickly cough, and I've gone, oh, okay, she's got hay fever. She's got an allergy and it's coming through that way. Now, I knew that because of the way I was and the way my daughter was and her husband too. They both got allergies. They both got it like I did. So it was logical in the way it was working, and we could understand the logic to it. And so we sort of went, well, okay, we know where she's going, we know what she's doing. So intuitively, we started to give her the antihistamines. We gave a natural cough medicine to make sure it stayed nice and loose. As an adult, I would have gone into the horseradish, triple strength horseradish and garlic and those sort of things, which is what I do. But of course, as a little one, we couldn't do that. So we used what we could do in the medication. And I kept saying to her, you've got to nip it in the bud, you've got to nip it in the bud. Don't wait till she gets really sick and you need to go into antibiotics and all the rest of it. Nip it in the bud. Soon as she sneezes, get her onto the antihistamines and help her body get through it rather than let it get really, really big and flare up, and then you have to deal with sinus infections and chest infections. So we were working with that, and we both felt comfortable. She had a little bit of a cough, and it was a nice rattly cough, you know, so she was actually getting rid of it, this excess mucus that her body was making to fight the allergy. So she was getting through it, which was really good. But she also got outside help from somebody else. And this is where it became another logical push. And the logical push was, oh, she's got a cough, take her to the doctors. And my daughter's intuition was pushing in, going, she's not sick enough to go to the doctors. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. I just meant intuitively she knew that she didn't need to go to the doctors. And she felt like she was being pushed from somebody else. And she was going, I just don't think she's sick enough. Like, I don't feel that taking her to the doctors is going to achieve anything. And it's like, if you have, say you have sinus, even if you have a viral infection, you can go to the doctors and there's nothing they can do. Unless it's got infected and then they can give you antibiotics, but otherwise there's nothing they can do. And that's how she was feeling. It was like, there's nothing the doctor can do at this stage because it's not green, it's not infected, and she's getting rid of it. So the body is learning to adjust and get rid of it itself. So she intuitively knew that she didn't need to go, but because we're getting this outside pressure from other people, we start to question ourselves and we start to look at that logical push that we're getting. And the same type of thing happened when I went up to their place for the week, because I was going to run two workshops. Now, the first time I ran a workshop up there, straight away, as soon as I put it out into the public, I got information, I got people booking. This time I put it out into the public and I got nothing. There was no response. And it got to like a few days before the workshop was due to come on, and I didn't have a booking. And I remember saying to my daughter, you know what, logically I should push this and keep going, you know, put the posters up, fight for this, do that. But intuitively I know that it's not the right thing to do. I shouldn't be doing it. I don't need to do it. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong reasons for doing it. I don't know why, but it doesn't feel right to do it. Logically, everything says I should do it, but intuitively it doesn't feel right to do it. And one of the things I did struggle with, not this time, I've obviously got a lot better at it, thank goodness, but when I first started doing this sort of thing, you kept on going back to the logic and saying, well, hang on, you're up there, you might as well do this, you might as well do that, and, you know, and you go through it all logically and you justify everything. I couldn't do that this time. It was like, I'm not going to justify it. It doesn't feel right. I'm not going to do it. That's all there is to it. And I went, okay, so I'll let the second one go and see if that one, if we get any takers. If we don't get any takers within the next couple of days, I will then go I will cancel that as well. And you know what? I reckon as soon as I said it, I knew it was going to be cancelled because this didn't feel right. I wasn't there for that reason. I needed to be there for a different reason. And this is how it feels when we're starting to follow our logic. When we're following our intuition, but getting that logic thrown at us. And what usually happens is the logic is often coming from someone else because they're not understanding why you've chosen to do this or why you're not doing that. It worked for me. Why aren't you doing that? You know, this worked for me. Why aren't you doing that? And they don't understand that that's your logic. That's your way of doing it. It doesn't necessarily mean it's my way of doing it. So when we're giving advice and we're giving information out, it's okay to give that information out, but you need to let go of it. And if the person wants to take on that logic or that understanding of it, then so be it. Allow them to do it in their way. Don't necessarily have to go, it's got to be done this way or it won't work. And we see that a lot in marketing, in advertising. It's you'll see people go say, well, if you want to learn how to do card reading, you've got to do it this way. This is the only way to do it. And it's like, no, there's lots and lots of ways to do things. And as I say, there's more than one way to skin a cat, not that I'm into cat skinning, but, you know, there is apparently more than one way. Never tried it myself. But so when we're looking at things that we need to do, if something doesn't feel right with you, then that's your intuition kicking in. It doesn't feel right with you. It means that there could be another way of doing it. And one of the biggest things that I found too, so that's with my daughter with pregnancy. I had it the same with pregnancy, with raising our children. I've had it with just recently with the workshops. But I get it a lot with marketing. Like a lot of people have said to me, why are you doing the podcast? You know, you're not getting any paid for it. It's taking up time. You're not getting paid for it. What is it achieving? And you know what? It's achieving my feel good. I don't necessarily have to be doing this to be making money. I can be doing this because it feels good. It makes me feel good. But the thing is that when people are looking at marketing, they're looking at it in a different context, and they're looking at it a very masculine way of marketing. And I don't want to market like that. That's not how I want to do it. I want to do it in a more feminine way. And a feminine way is about giving. It's about nurturing people. And that's why I do this. This is part of my nurturing. You get information from me. You get information from my guests. You get different types of information that will suit you and it may not suit you. But you can take it on board if you want to. And none of it is rammed down your throat. You have the choice to turn it off, go away. You can have the choice of doing it, subscribing to it and hearing it every week. But the choice is yours. And this is my form of marketing. And this is why my business has taken so long to do anything, is because the way that they were doing it before, the marketing before, was in such a masculine, buy now, you have to, you're limited time, rah, 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 in such a way that I would cringe. Even networking, I struggle with. You know, I don't want to go to a networking event because networking event is about going there and seeing what you can sell to somebody. I don't want to do that. I'm not a seller. I'm a giver. If you want to buy from me, that's your choice. You're a buyer, but I'm not selling. I'm giving it. It's there. I do have the online courses. Yes, you do pay for them because I worked hard to do that and I need to reimburse it. But it's not like the be all and end all. You know, these courses may suit you. They may not. And it's all about taking on board what you need and letting go of the rest. So after I'd had my three kids and I started to look at different ways that how I wanted to improve my life and myself, and that's when I started to get all the books. Now, like I said, you've got online courses. You've got podcast information. You've got Facebook. You've got so many things and so many options you can look at that it can be a little bit overwhelming. We only had books, basically, so I would hire out from the library like 10 books at a time and I have them for the couple of weeks. But even in those books, there was some there that I could read and I could get information out of, and there was other ones that were just like crappy. Ones that just didn't suit me. Okay, I shouldn't say crappy. Ones that just didn't suit me. There was ones there that repeated themselves often, and there was others that you got and you sort of went, I really need that right now. And they're the ones that connected with your intuition. They're the right ones for you at the time. So be mindful of that. And when you're looking at these groups, when you're looking at these Facebook groups like Intuitive Personal Development, take on what you need, not necessarily what they're all saying. So even when I'm saying it, I'm saying intuition is, okay, the communication between our spiritual self and our physical self. If you don't want to believe that, you don't have to. I really don't care. What you describe as intuition is yours. It's and that's what's so important. And you will find that how other people describe it and the guests that we have on board may call it different names. A lot of people will call it God. I'm getting messages from God. I'm getting messages from spirit. I'm getting messages from the angels. I'm getting messages. I'm channeling messages from here, from there. It's all very similar in the fact that it is the spiritual side of things connecting with the physical side of things. And we do that in different ways. But you put it how it sits right with you. So when people are giving you information or they're giving you an understanding or guidance, let me just get rid of that, when they're giving you different opinions, okay, if they're giving you their opinions, be polite, listen to it, because you may pick up little bits and pieces from it. That's what's really, really exciting is the stuff that you do pick up from it. But it doesn't mean you have to put it in place the same way they do. Now, even when I was sort of saying to my daughter, I think she's got to my daughter about her daughter, I said, I think she's got hay fever. I think she's got an allergy and her body's creating this. And I didn't have to push it. I didn't have to push it because she sort of went, oh, actually, that makes sense, Mum. You know, because of this, because of that, that makes sense. And when she's saying it makes sense, it felt right for her. Intuitively, it made sense, not just logically, because sometimes logically things can be like make sense for somebody else, but not necessarily make sense for you. So when we've got these intuitive urges, you will feel them. You'll feel them as a positive or as a negative. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's negative. It's just like not sitting right with you. It just doesn't feel quite what it needs to be. And when it is intuitively right, it's amazing how you just follow it along, because you don't question it. You just follow it along and you sort of go, yeah, let's do that. That sounds good. Let's do that. So getting an intuitive urge and a logical push doesn't necessarily mean the logical push is wrong either. I want to make that very clear, because there's times in our life when we really need to have a logical push. There's times when that logic needs to be there to get us to do something that is in line with our life purpose. And our intuition has kicked in, but we're not listening to it. And we need to have that logical understanding behind it before we go forward. Have I confused you? I think I've just confused myself. No, honestly. When we're learning to trust our intuition, we sometimes need to have that backup, that logic understanding to it. Now, I've told you before on the podcast, I am a theory tester. I will test the theories. The books that I've read, I've tested them. If they didn't work for me, then okay, I didn't worry about them. But the ones I did test and the ones that did work, they were just amazing. And if you can imagine, I have read a book, I've got an understanding of it, it's obviously sitting well with spiritually for me, intuitively for me, because I've kept on reading it. And when I keep on reading it and I'm taking notes and things like that, because I'm a note taker, I have to get an understanding of it. As I've got the understanding of it, then later on I will actually theory test it, put it to the test. And I've asked people to do that with my flower readings, you know, the book on intuitive flowers. Put it to the test. That's what it's all about. And when you read this book, it says at the beginning, do your flower, pick your flower, get your flower. So you know, as you're reading it, you're testing to see if it works for you. Because if it doesn't work, put the book down. It's not for you. But if it does work and you start getting a few aha moments in it, then you know that it is sitting well with you. Now, I did this with Creative Visualization by Jacques Dequan. Now, that was one of my first books, and I started reading it, and I was just engrossed. It was just so good. But you know what? It took me probably 8 years before I actually tested that theory, before I was in the right mindset, before I gathered enough other information to make it sit right with me. And I pulled the book out again, and this time I actually put it to the test. So I read it and I went, uh-huh, yep, that's right, that's cool. I get where they're coming from. I understand what they're talking about. But I didn't do anything with it. 8-odd years later, I actually can't remember the exact time frame, but it was quite a bit later. I went, okay, I'm in the right headspace now. I'm actually going to put this to the test. And it was a 6-month. It ended up being a 6-month test. I didn't know how long it was going to take, but for me, it ended up being 6 months that this particular test went off. Now, I've got that in other podcasts. I can tell you a little bit about it. I don't want to keep repeating the same stuff over and over again, but this was about we were on the organic crop farm. We had a 90-acre organic crop farm. Didn't have the money to update the farmhouse, the old farmhouse. So that was my creative visualization. Each day I'd go through the rooms and I'd visualize what I thought that room would look like, and I'd visualize what I thought that room would look like. And, you know, the more feeling that you put into it, the more you can visualize it, the more likely it will happen. So I'd go into the girls' room and this is what I want. I'd go into the boys' room and be horrified by his bedroom. This is what I want. Go into the lounge room. This is what I want. I did every room, the kitchen. You know, it even got to the stage of probably about 5 months down the track. I know I did it every day for probably about 3 months, and then it got a little bit distant. And then there was times there when I would sit and meditate and visualize it. And then there was other times when I would actually walk around, stand in the doorway and visualize the room. But yeah, after sort of 3 months, I probably did every second day. It wasn't as regular. And about fifth month, I actually went into the local hardware shop and I went, well, if I'm going to visualize this, I need to do it properly. And I actually went in and picked out some door handles, and, you know, cupboard handles, and I'd have a look at the laminate. This is the laminate I'd have. And these were the colors I'd be looking at. So I went through that sort of side to it as well. When you're doing visualization, you don't only stand there. There's the different types of visualization. So another visualization I've had is about being on stage and talking, similar to what I'm doing here, but on stage. So when you're doing that, you visualize yourself standing there and looking out, and you can see everybody. And then you visualize yourself as somebody in the audience looking up at yourself on stage. So you're looking at it in the third part, in the third person. You're in the first person, in this, you know, different persons is in, anyway, you know what I mean. Yeah, I'm not good at that. But visualizing yourself from the eyes of somebody else, from your eyes, from what it looks like from coming down, you know, all those different aspects, so you get a really good understanding of it. So that's the sort of thing I did with the house. I'd go into the doorway of the bedroom, the girl's bedroom, and I visualize what the beds were like, or colors they were, you know. And then there was other times when I was sitting down in my meditation space and I would just meditate about it. So in the end, I didn't buy them, I just went and looked at them and picked the colors and everything else. I still had no idea how this was going to happen, because we were struggling just to get the crop farm going. You know, we'd have people coming in and buying the organic produce straight out of the ground. I'd be pulling carrots out and, you know, cutting off lettuces and stuff like that and handing it to them in a box. So we didn't have a lot of money. It was just turning over. So there's no way we're going to spend it on painting a house and having a house like that. But on the 4th of December of that year, we had this big sort of storm go through, and it was actually two storms that hit together and created a bit of a, not a tornado, but created a bit of a whirly or a bigger storm, and it sort of just hit basically at our house. We lost the roof. Everything was wet inside, lost a lot of stuff, but we actually had blue ribbon insurance, which we didn't know, we just had insurance, but it was actually blue ribbon insurance. It was a top quality insurance, so we got everything old for new. We got it all new. So all the house got painted, everything got done, the roof got put on, it all went how it was. And I said to the builder, I said, how long is this going to take? Like, I had no idea because it was just before Christmas. And he said, the longest thing it's going to take is for you to pick the colours of the kitchen and the rooms. And I went, oh, already got them. And I know the door handles as well. So it was really funny. A little bit embarrassing. You almost felt like you'd unscrewed the roof so it'd go. But no, you can't do things like that. And the storm hit it just the way it hit and the way it whipped the power line to lift the roof. And yeah, I mean, it was scary at the time, believe you me. It was quite terrifying. But in the same token, everything I visualized within 6 weeks of losing the roof was all there. The whole lot, all the colors, the door handles, the laminate, the new kitchen, it was all there. The house was just like a new, it wasn't like a new one because it was an old farmhouse, but if you could imagine, it was just like a new place for us. You know, it was lovely to come into. It wasn't so old and dowdy and smelly, and it was fresh and alive again. And it was amazing. So this is the theory testing. And this is when you're starting to put aside all that logic, because if I thought about it logically, it was like, oh, I need to win Tats Lotto. You know, I need to win Lotto to do that. I need to win money. I need to rob a bank, or, you know, I need to knock off an old aunt that hasn't got any kids that I can get the inheritance for, which I didn't actually have. So you're looking at the logic to it instead of what you really want, your intuition, what you want, your visualization, your life. So there's those sort of things that are really enjoyable to test. And when you start really trusting your intuition and allowing that to come through and allowing those feelings and those situations to happen, that's when you really start to see the goal. That's when you start to see your life, real life. So when someone's starting to really push their logical thinking at you, be mindful that, look, most of the time they're really doing it for the right reasons. But there's other times there when you're just not ready. Actually, I remember the last one I wanted to talk to you about. It's about relationship breakdowns. Now, my relationship from my 20-year marriage, basically, it was 8 years it took me before I was ready to walk away or move away from that relationship. Now, I remember for a long time there, I would be talking to friends and sort of going, I don't know what to do. This is happening. And you feel like you're constantly whinging and bitching about your partner. And it's not that you're wanting to do that. It's more about not understanding what's going on and not knowing where to go with it or what to do with it. So I can remember I was constantly sort of going, oh, this is going on and this is happening and that's happening. And you just went on and on and on about it. When somebody is doing that, and I remember a lady that I was helping out, and she was getting physically hit by her husband. And I remember helping her one particular time. It was got quite nasty. And I brought her into my home with her kids. And I remember I got into trouble for that too, because he came around with a shotgun. And I put my kids at jeopardy because of helping this woman. So that I didn't even think of that. All I could think of was helping this lady. Anyway, she actually went back to him. And my head went, WTF, you know, come on. He's just physically beaten you in front of everybody and you're going back to him. And it didn't make sense to me. And it wasn't until my relationship was breaking down that it started to make sense. Because unless you're ready to move away from that relationship, no one can logically push you to do it. You have to be mindful of how your intuition's feeling and how you are feeling before you can do that. And that's why it took me 8 years to leave my relationship. I knew there was things wrong, but I needed to go through the steps and go through the motions to get an understanding of it, because it's not logical to me until it sits right intuitively then it makes sense. So people could turn around, and like I did with this lady, well, you know, like, oh my God, he's hitting you. That you've got to get away from that. And that's the logic. But her intuition wasn't ready for that. She wasn't ready for it. She needed to get herself into a state where she could leave comfortably and know that she's done what she needed to do, whatever that was, to get through that. And I know that when I went through my breakdown in the marriage, I needed to do the same. I needed to go through those steps and go through those motions to make it feel right before I could move on, before I could go there. And even then, it didn't make it easier, I can assure you. It was, you know, marriage breakdown is horrendous. And it doesn't matter whether you hate their guts, it's still horrendous. You still grieve the loss of a future that you anticipated you were going to have. And it's challenging. Even now, when I go and visit my grandbaby, I always wanted to have my grandbaby with my husband beside me. That's no longer happened. That got taken away. When the relationship broke down, that got taken away. And you know, you're constantly feeling that. But I can honestly say that I went through those motions until I was intuitively strong enough to turn around and go, that's enough. I can't do this anymore. This is not my life. And that is what you've got to be mindful of. So when you're giving advice or even receiving it, you know, give it with the intention that this is what happened for me. Does that help? If it doesn't, it doesn't matter. It's just another piece of advice, you know, a bit of information that you may be able to use. When you're getting it given to you, accept it in that context. Oh, that was nice. Thank you for sharing that. Will I use it? Who knows? And you may do, like I did with that book, may use it 8 years later. And you go, you know what, that's just gold. I needed that. Absolutely. So that's what it's all about, the intuitive urge or the logical push. Neither of them are right or wrong. Oh, no, I'll have to take that back. The intuitive urge is definitely right for me. But the logic does need to be there in a certain degree because, honestly, if you're going off with the pixies, you could be going the wrong way too. But majority of times, you're doing stuff, you're holding yourself back majority of times because of that logical aspect. So if the urge is there, follow that urge and tick off the boxes, some of the boxes for the logic, because it's no good. Like, again, when the relationship was breaking down, you know, my intuitive urge was to walk away, now just run away. In fact, one time I packed the kids into the car and I was going to leave, but you know what, I had no money. I wasn't given any money. I had no bank account, so I had nowhere to go. I had no petrol in the car, so I couldn't move anywhere. And the closest town was, there was no public transport. The closest town was an hour's drive away. I was stuck. I couldn't go. And I remember sitting in that car and thinking, well, I'm trying to move away from this relationship. I've got my three children. I've left all their toys, everything there. And I'm walking away from this. He's got the house. He's got everything. And I'm walking away with the three kids and nothing and not a cent to my name. Now, intuitively, that was when the relationship was breaking down. That's when I knew that this was we're heading that way unless something drastic was changing, going to change. And I tried to make that drastic change, but it didn't. It just didn't work. I changed, but the relationship didn't. But that was the particular time. It was sitting in that car, and I just remember looking at my daughter's little tiny plastic bike and thinking, I'm leaving all the things that they love and going off with nothing. Now, is that fair to the kids? Is that fair to me? Is that fair to anyone? Have I given this relationship enough? And so if I had followed what my intuition wanted me to do, and that was to get out of the relationship there and then. If I had the ability to, maybe I would have, but I didn't have the ability to. So then I had to allow that logic to come in and go, all right, let's look at it. How can we do this in a way that, all right, if I leave the relationship, I need to leave it in a way that is suitable for me and for the children as well. So we've got to get that understanding, but knowing what your intuitive urge is, what that is, compared to what a logical push is what this podcast today was all about. And that's what I want you to be mindful of. Get an understanding of that feeling. Get an understanding of the advice you're getting, the advice you're giving, and the intuitive urge you're getting that goes with it. And that's how you can follow your intuition and start to really trust it, because you've got all the answers. You know what you need to do for you. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about that. It's what you need to do. So that's it. That's all I'm talking about, because I talk too much. And that's what I love about this podcast, because I can talk. And I've never used to be able to talk. I was always told to shut up. So it's lovely to be able to talk. So thank you, guys. Have a great day. I have the new online courses now to help you trust your intuition. So that's on theartofintuition.com.au. You can connect with me on Facebook, The Art of Intuition, or Susan Jane, the Intuitist. You can join the Facebook group. Intuitive Personal Development is the Facebook group. And every Tuesday morning, Australian Eastern Standard Time, I do a quick setting your intentions for the week, a quick live. It's just a quick basic one, but it helps me set my intentions ready for the week too. So I know what's coming up and what to look for. All right, so that's me. Have a great week, guys, and I will see you next week. All right, all the best. Bye for now.